start, Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee!
Are you ready?
The drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The gods, the beast, the fraud, they're messing with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am known as your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States.
Of the Americas. And I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. That's science. It's a fact. And it's none other than the chair shot scientist, the architect himself, DPP.
Feel like we need more, like we need more of fiendish, a fiendish intro. I might have to work on something new.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, were you feeling the old Bray Wyatt championship victory at Crown Jewel there?
I was digging it. I feel like they should have done that a couple weeks ago when they had Hell in the Cell.
Well, folks, we'll get to that. That could possibly be something we finally disagree on.
Here we go.
But anyway, DP, we had, 6 inches of snow here on Halloween?
Yeah, what kind of shit is that, man? Can it?
Fuck.
What the shit is that?
So I was off that day. It was great. I got a chance to sit at home. I started drinking right when the pre-show came on. So 11 a.m. Central, pre-show. I'm watching for Crown Jewel, and I'm drinking. It was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed the show. We'll get to that. But I get up Thursday morning and I look out the window. I'm like, what the fuck? Everything's covered in snow. The majority of the first couple inches melted right away because the ground's still warm here. But I went out, brushed off the car, got to the grocery store, back home. And believe it or not, the next day I had to brush the car off again. So that was very interesting. I didn't shovel. Did you shovel?
I did not. Nope. I let the sun take care of business.
Yeah, any smart Wisconsinite was not out there slaving away with the shovel because it didn't matter. It was going to go away. The sun was going to come out. Even though it hasn't gotten much higher than 40 degrees, that's still going to do the job around here right now. So thankfully, we didn't have to shovel that. Shouldn't have to cut any more grass. But the heaters have been kicking in full effect now. That heating bill is going to go up. And it looks like we're officially moving into winter here. Fall was brief.
What fall? There was no fall.
Yeah, you fell for it, didn't you?
And this And this weekend we fall back. So make sure you set your clocks properly as well, people.
That's right. So not only have you been listening to this show, but you've been listening to it an hour ago. DPP, let's let everybody know what's going on this week on the podcast known as DWI.
Well, we're waiting.
This week it's a snowy sheet.
Maybe some sleet.
Sleet.
Big show. The big show sleet.
Big show sleet. I can't even say it. Big slow sleet.
No, you're not. Can we get the prices right? Yeah, you suck it. Anyway. Crown Jewel and everything that happened, good and bad, we're going to talk about that. We're also going to get to the unbelievably talked about, let's put it that way, SmackDown from Friday night following Crown Jewel. In addition, get into some NXT from that and also talk about some AEW. And last call, we're going to give our mid-season grades, report card, predictions for the National Football League. So, DP, let's not keep our audience waiting any longer. Ring the bell. Kick it off with Crown Jewel. Let's talk about the very most important thing that happened at Crown Jewel. It was announced the day beforehand. I think it's a gigantic deal. I think it makes WWE going over to Saudi Arabia and putting on this show for the fourth time now, it makes everything worth it. Anybody who's slammed WWE for what they've done and taking the money and going over to a place like that, etc. We had the first ever women's wrestling match in Saudi Arabian history. I think that's gigantic. I think that's a huge movement for women's rights and equality throughout the world. People were kind of dogging the fact that it was Lacey Evans and Natalya. Well, in Natalya, you have one of the most royal wrestling families of all time. You have possibly one of the best women's wrestlers of all time. And in Lacey Evans, you have someone that's up and coming, has a very strong character, is very strong in the ring, and is also a five-year veteran of the United States Marine Corps. So I don't understand what there's to complain about. I'm thoroughly proud of those two women and what the WWE has accomplished here, DP.
Well, yeah, if you know me, you know I'm not one to frequent the Twitter or anything like that. Social media is not so much, I guess, for me. If you're telling me that some people were kind of down on the fact that it was Lacey Evans and Natalya that got the match, that's, I mean, fuck you guys. I don't know what else to say. I mean, Natalya is one of the greatest female wrestlers of this generation. I mean, again, you said the lineage. She's got the Hart family lineage. She's been a mainstay in that division for how long before this whole women's revolution even kind of really got going? You know, she's in the forefront of that. You know,
like we both say one of the best women's wrestlers of all time, and possibly women, men or women aside, she could be one of the best workers in ring of all time.
Wouldn't disagree with that at all either. You know, and yeah, you're talking about the Marine Corps background of Lacey Evans. Do we also know, you know, were any of the other women willing to go over there in the first place too? You know, a lot of the wrestlers don't go and, you know, decline to make the trip and stuff like that because of, you know, whatever reasons, if it's political or whatever, or just they just don't want to make the trip, fine. You know, and I'm not going to knock anybody for anything like that. But yeah, why I don't, what does it matter? Who cares? Like, whatever you don't like about Lacey Evans, whatever. She's still good. She's got a great character, you know, that's getting over, and she puts on great matches with Natalya, and I'm sure Natalya had, you know, probably had a little bit of a say in it too. And who cares? This is another barrier that's been broken down, just like you said. You know, they did it not too long ago, and I think it was Abu Dhabi when Sasha Banks and I forget who it was, Sasha Banks wrestled over there, and now another barrier is broken, and it's just amazing to see the WWE leading kind of this front of this kind of stuff, and it's amazing. And you watch the crowd, and you see all the little girls out in the crowd, just, you know, they showed a couple shots of them just, you know, eating it up, you know, loving the fact that they're seeing women in the ring, being able to perform in front of this whole, you know, in front of a crowd and stuff like that. It's inspirational. Whoever is doing it, I don't give a shit. Well, how much you don't like them or think someone else deserves it. I don't think anybody deserves it any more than Natalya does. So, you know, whatever. It's just awesome that they fucking did it. I, you know, it's just really cool. I can't believe it.
Amen. Ring the bell three times for Lacey and Natty and WWE. All right, DP, before we actually talk about the Crown Jewel card and the matches and what inspired there, I think it's time for a segment that we haven't done in quite a while, and it's going to be a little bit more of a smaller dialed back version. But DP, I would love to give everybody my Crown Jewel observations.
Every step you take, I'll be watching you.
All right, here we go. WWE Crown Jewel. What? If you're not last, you want to be first. What? Only prediction I can make is Lesnar somehow retains. What? If Velasquez wins, though, the title, I'll pop big time. What? Mysterio got some nice kicks on tonight. What? Props to Velasquez coming in and paying some dues. I'll take more of this storyline. What? Beware, internet wrestling community. There is a strong presence of haterade today. What? Pro wrestling is supposed to be fun. What? This match should have had a team at every corner leading to the final four. Hashtag tag team turmoil. What? La-di-da-da-da. Give me some Otis! What? What? I said, give me some Otis. What? I heard the music hit and said out loud, War Machine! What? AJ should retain now. What? Mansoor! What? Great match. What? Better crowd. What? I got AJ here, but I'm hoping Humberto prevails. What? Humberto should join the OC Monday on Raw. What? That would be too sweet. What? If you can't appreciate what's happening right now, then I don't have any words to explain it to you. What? Hashtag Lacey versus Natty. What? Quite the moment for professional wrestling. What? Hogan, Team Hogan versus Team Flair. I'm enjoying myself, but why before Survivor Series? What? Randy Orton is over. What? Bray? What? Well, that happened. What? Bray Wyatt is sloppy. What? That's my opinion. What? And you've been enjoying. What? Another edition. What? Of PC Tunney's. What? Observations. DP, let's get into the card here. Let's start off with Brock Lesnar and the very quick match he had versus Cain Velasquez. It came out that Cain Velasquez is indeed going to be needing knee surgery, apparently, and could not do much in the ring. You can take that for what it's worth, how much you want to believe of that. What did you think of how they booked the match, and what did you think of how they booked this moving forward? It looks like Brock and Ray are going to have a program after Ray came out and, you know, gave him a few chair shots, if you will.
You know, I kind of liked the match for what it was. I didn't know the whole knee injury thing until afterwards, which I think most people didn't know until afterwards, and that there was possibility that there was more that they were going to do in that match, but couldn't because of the knee problem, which could have been unfortunate, which was unfortunate, I guess, because I wanted to see a little more. You know, I thought the way they were doing it, you know, more of a MMA UFC kind of fight that they had going on for a bit.
Right, and from what we've seen in previous months leading up, Velasquez was down in AAA, down in Mexico, and apparently dude can work in the ring.
Yeah, he's been training for a while, and I think it could have been really awesome to see him, you know, have some good matches, and Gizmo agrees that...
Yeah, big Cain Velasquez fan.
Yeah, Cain Velasquez, he's a big UFC fan. And... you know, that they could have had a really great match and probably will hopefully in the future if, you know, they want to go back to it. If he indeed needs the surgery and is going to be out for a while, I'm kind of hoping they do because I thought, you know, they could put on a really good match. I mean, really the crowd, I don't know, weren't really into this match completely, I guess, because it's a little tough with, you know, a guy like Cain Velasquez if you don't really know UFC. It's, you know, the crossover's a little tougher. But for what it was, as quick as it was really cool. It was a good way to go out on it because it gives Cain Velasquez an out, gives him a reason to come back and fight again, and they can use that to build on that story. And then having Mysterio come in, I mean, we kind of knew it was going that way anyway, right, I think? Mysterio versus Brock Lesnar, and we'll get to how they're continuing that story when we talk SmackDown. But I loved it. You know, he got some shots in. I loved, you know, Brock, you know, kind of no-selling it for a second, and then, like, more, like, agitated that he kept hitting him and trying to get out of the ring. And they were a little, they've been getting a little loose with their chair shots, I would say, in recent weeks, I think, you know? I mean, not completely straight to the head, but, you know, with a hand up blocked, they aren't necessarily sticking to the old shot to the stomach, hitting them in the back formula anymore.
I think a lot of that is worked out between the chair shotter and the chair shotty before they go out there.
Oh, most likely.
Although I know that Vince wants them to put their hands up on shots to the head. I know a funny story that's come out in the last year is Rob Van Dam talking about what Vince said to him and et cetera, et cetera. And Vince kind of made Rob Van Dam see the light and, you know, you're part of this family now. You're part of my family. We put our hands up, okay? We already know you're tough, you know? So I liked it for what it's worth. Like you said, we're going to get more into the whole Brock Lesnar, Rey Mysterio thing as we move out of this topic and into SmackDown. So let's move on to another match. The next match on the card of the regular card was the Tag Team Turmoil. I mentioned in observations, I thought it would have been better if they would have had all four. I don't know how many teams were in the turmoil. Six, maybe? Seven? Eight? I don't remember exactly. But if they would have started with one in each corner, and then every time a team got eliminated, another one come out and take that corner until there's four, and then they just whittle them away, I thought that would have been a cooler way to book it. At the same time, I enjoyed it. I didn't mind what it was. I thought everybody worked well. I really enjoyed every match on this card. What were your thoughts on the whole tag team turmoil? And, of course, the OC coming out ahead made the whole faction look like $1 million, which makes everybody else that works with them look like $1 million moving forward.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all at the ending, really. I mean, you think about the, you know, last year when Shane McMahon won the whole thing, you know, it's just, you know, just a reason to have a storyline going forward, really, because the War Raiders winning it, and yeah, I'm calling them the War Raiders, just like PC Tunney mentioned in his and his observations, that's War Raiders.
Yeah, we'll call it War Machine. War Machine.
Or War Machine. God damn it, I did it wrong anyway. Look at that.
Yeah. If you've had a beer at a bar with them, you can call them whatever the fuck you want.
So, it really wouldn't have done anything for them winning it, really, right? So, it helps that the whole OC get over a little bit more. It gives them a little more credibility and has the reason for them to feud with them going forward. I agree. I love your idea there. I think that's a perfect way to do these turmoil matches a little bit better, is to have four teams start it off, and as one gets eliminated, one gets replaced. Because really, it's when this, you know, it's just luck of the draw, right? That's the whole thing behind it. Because obviously, the team that comes in first is not going to be the ones winning it. And you can see how they had, you know, Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins and the B team just be, you know, job out for a minute, like. What's the point? Why bother then? You know,
get a paycheck.
So, yeah, right. Hey, we flew 18 hours.
It's important to them.
Flew 18 goddamn hours to Saudi Arabia to spend 1 minute in the ring, and then 6 hours on the tarmac. So having them, you know, like that, you know, at least they would give them more time in the ring and, you know, some more TV time and stuff like that. I think that's a really great idea to do those that way going forward. But Vince, you're listening. I know. So there you go. Take it for what it's worth.
Let's stay with OC as we kind of transition into the next match we want to talk about. And boy, AJ Styles is over there. I mean, they pop big time for him. I am sold on Humberto Carrillo. I've seen a bunch of his matches. I've loved everything he's done since he's come up to the main roster. I thought he looked really good in the Battle Royal that he won, you know, eliminating Harper and Rowan at the end there. But once the OC won this turmoil, I'm like, okay, we got to keep the OC overall strong the entire night. And I kind of thought, yeah, AJ's got to retain now. But what are your thoughts on Humberto Carrillo?
He's been amazing. I mean, he's had a few matches here. The one with Seth Rollins. He's had the two with AJ. This one with AJ. You know, it's just been phenomenal, to use the term anyway. But it's also against Seth Rollins and AJ Styles. He needs to get a win now. He's done a great job of doing this, selling it and everything. But now they need to start having win. I think he's been phenomenal in the ring. He's just, the guy can go really well, can wrestle really well. I want to see him start having some other matches with some other people, because you can do it with two of the greatest, and now you got to do it with everybody else too. And I think he can. It's just given, he's gotten a great opportunity right here off the bat, but let's see where they go with it, because they did the same thing with Ali, and now all of a sudden they backed off of him, and I'm not sure where they're going to go with him, but I'd like him to continue doing something to keep the momentum.
I think things he needs to improve on is he needs to keep continuing to build depth in his character, which is obvious, and he's just been on the main roster, so that's anyone that comes up like that in that way, being so young. He needs to get better on the mic, which he will once he gets more, comfortable with his own character. But to me, the best thing that he does, while his work in the ring is excellent, he does more than just work when he's in the ring. You can kind of feel his personality come through his work in the ring, right? And a lot of guys, that's something you either have or you don't, right? You can get yourself over on the mic. You can get yourself over building a character that really connects with the crowd. But can you convey all of that to everybody while you're in the wrestling ring? And to me, he has that already.
Yeah, that extra, just that charisma, that I don't know, whatever you call it, the aura that just comes through when you're selling and you can...
X factor, it factor.
Yeah, you can't teach some of that stuff, I agree with you.
All right, let's talk about somebody else that has an unbelievable amount of charisma, and it came through in spades in his home country. Mansoor versus Cesaro. DP, I thought this was the match of the night. It's what I enjoyed most in the evening. Cesaro is just phenomenal. That the guy just continues to make anybody he works with look like gold. He looks great. Mansoor looked great. The crowd was just loving this, and it felt good watching it to me.
And that's some of the things that a good crowd can do, and I'm not going to take away anything from the match, because it was phenomenal. I keep using that word. I got to find a new word. but him being the home country guy, right? The first one to come in WWE and do this, and it's a perfect platform for him. It's, the crowd's going to be really into it and dig it. And you got just an insanely good wrestler next to you in Cesaro who can make you look like $1 million. And he does, not necessarily that he even needs it, because he is he's a good wrestler and he's really good in the ring. And they're both put on just an insanely good match. And I love that when that crowd gets into it, because it makes it that much more entertaining when you have a good crowd.
What do you think the future holds for Cesaro? Is he ever going to get to that main event level? I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with him not having the belt so far or getting pushed into a main event, because while he works great in the ring and his character is solid, it just doesn't feel that way to me. I wouldn't be unhappy about it, but look at how hard it is for some of these guys to break through and actually get that title. What do you see for Cesaro, moving forward?
I would love to see him get that opportunity, because he is that good, I think, wrestling-wise. Kind of like, maybe where The Miz was when he had his title run, when he, whatever that was, 2008, 2006, something like that, I think, when he was main evented with John Cena at WrestleMania. I would like to see him get to that level at least once and have a shot at it, other than just a random title match. I think they missed the boat on it when he had Paul Heyman as his mouthpiece. I think he needs a mouthpiece and could just go out there and be this, a guy like Brock Lesnar who goes out there and is just kind of that dominator type of guy, because he can be kind of an intimidating guy, and I think he could pull it off. And I think that was a great opportunity when he was coming out with Heyman, to have him as the mouthpiece. He doesn't have to worry about talking too much. and you could just go out there and beat some people up. I think that would be kind of where he would fit in really well. I feel like if he had a mouthpiece, he had somebody there to help push him, that would make him a little bit better and get him to that. Well, he needs the opportunity, but he can get to that level. I'd like to see him get to that level, at least have one title run, as long as it may be. Give him one. I think he deserves it.
I'm sure there's a good number of people in the WWE universe that agree with you and I there, and we'd love to see him get the opportunity one time. Speaking of people that beat people up, let's talk about Braun Strowman versus Tyson Fury. Now, you and I, it's very well known, are big boxing fans. We've had parties and gotten people together and had, you know, our routine for watching big boxing fights, you know, pay-per-views, getting guys together, et cetera, et cetera. How did you enjoy the match? How did you, more importantly, enjoy the build-up and their use of Tyson Fury here with Braun Strowman?
Tyson Fury, named after Mike Tyson. How fitting that he became a boxer. I thought it was fun. I've actually read a few things on this where a lot of people were kind of dogging it and saying like, it was kind of crap, and but he's not, you know, it was a gimmick match. He's not a wrestler. It was like having Mayweather out there at one WrestleMania with you know, the Big Show, or, you know, anytime they do that kind of thing.
Yeah, you grade Tyson Fury, his in-ring performance, et cetera, on a scale with guys like Mayweather and Lawrence Taylor and whoever else, that Stephen Amell, that is not from the wrestling world, that comes in, maybe trains for a week or a couple days, and, you know, you could see how he's a little slow or fast to get into transitions, or how he didn't sell the Braun's finisher at the end after the match. How did you like the booking of the match, where it didn't necessarily hurt Braun Strowman and it made Fury look good because he basically knocked Braun Strowman out for 10 seconds, but Braun Strowman never got pinned?
Right. It was a perfect way to end it without harming anybody. I thought Tyson Fury did amazing in the ring. I thought, you know, as far as we talk about those different guys, he was, I think, light years ahead of those guys when it came to just the wrestling and being able to take some bumps and stuff. And I thought they'd put on a great match. You know, he crappily kind of sold the end fine, whatever. But, you know, he was taking bumps. He took the, you know, around the world, outside the ring, got, you know, run through twice and was, you know, taking bumps. And, you know, that's more than you can ask for from a lot of these guys. And, you know, the pageantry that he brought, the whole entrance, I mean, that's boxing, you know, classic, right? And he did, you know, that whole thing, I mean, that just helps that whole pageantry, the whole entertainment side of it. And yeah, Braun Strowman doesn't lose anything by getting knocked out for a 10 count outside the ring. And Tyson Fury looks great. You know, Strowman comes back, gets the power slam on him, you know, so he still looks strong. Nobody's hurt. And if they want to, they can come back to it again at WrestleMania. And you got another match for Strowman, and you got another whole gimmick thing to bring back. And he's a great character. He's entertaining. As long as he's still, you know, a boxing champion and undefeated, why wouldn't you want to bring him back? I think he did really well in this first time out. And geez, he could do even better the next time, just like Velasquez.
Yeah, I would give Fury on his entire program, like from showing up in WWE in the crowd to wrestling the match at Crown Jewel, his overall performance in WWE to date, I'd give him a B+, honestly, considering, right? I mean, you're kind of grading on a curve and on expectations, et cetera, but he was a little bit better than good in everything that he pretty much did.
I agree. You mentioned Stephen Amell, and he's, you know, was one of those that just was took to the ring amazingly when he was doing a couple matches and stuff like that. But other than that, man, I would put Fury over anybody I've seen in recent years as far as an outsider coming in and wrestling for that short period of time. He looked really good. And I know, you know, yeah, it's going to look a little awkward because he's not a wrestler, but I think he looked really good the way he was selling things, the way he was doing, you know, the acting, like you said, all the way up to it, the build when he was, you know, ringside for SmackDown and stuff like that. I mean, That's awesome. It was really good.
DP, let's talk Team Hogan versus Team Flair, brother.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
Well, I don't know about that, dude.
Woo!
My only drawback to this, I love the buildup. I still don't mind seeing Hogan and Flair do their little interviews. Hogan is obviously still able to carry a coherent interview with anybody that interviews and talk to him. Flair has a real hard time of keeping his shit together. He still brings all that energy. I just kind of like sit on the edge of my seat with him and go, oh shit, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Okay, brought it back around. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Because it doesn't feel like he's all there sometimes.
I think that's how Vince McMahon, I think you just looked like how Vince McMahon
looks. Oh shit, yeah. God, I hope this next 15 seconds works out. But I thought overall they both did a really good job of what they were there to do, right? Obviously, they're... usage is propelling the storyline more so where they were performing as opposed to where they do have live shows and television here. My only drawback was it's so close to Survivor Series. This is what we're building towards next month. So you kind of gave us the Survivor Series match before, right before Survivor Series.
Without the eliminations, pretty much, right? It was just a 5-on-5 match. And, you know, Survivor Series is now about Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT now, and this was more of we're in Saudi Arabia versus they Flair. Want to see Hogan and Flair, and that was just there because Hogan and Flair, you know, so
right.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. Get a good handful of other guys on this card so they give them a paycheck and see all the big names, and but get Hogan and Flair out in front of the Saudis, and They're gonna love it no matter what. That was the whole, you know, that was the whole time Hogan came back, the first one, right, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that was the perfect time to bring him back, because you know right. The crowd loves him.
Yeah, I mean, it served its purpose, and I thought they did a decent job with the match. Like I said, the only drawback for me was where it sits in the wrestling calendar, et cetera, et cetera. As we move closer to Survivor Series, we'll get more into, like DP said, it's Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT. I really would like to see how they're going to work these matches. Is NXT going to have a match against both Raw and SmackDown, and Raw is going to have a match against NXT and SmackDown, and SmackDown's going to have a match against Raw and NXT, or are these going to be triple threat Survivor Series matches? DP is about to explode right there.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
Those are questions we will try to figure out answers to as we move closer to Survivor Series. Last thing we want to talk about Crown Jewel here before we talk about the very last thing we talk about from Crown Jewel, if that makes sense in your head.
What?
Seth Rollins versus the Fiend Bray Wyatt. You said you're happy about the title victory. I don't mind it so much. I just don't really understand why they couldn't have done all this a little bit better. I think the main thing for me is, and I said it in observations and I tweeted it out, is Bray Wyatt to me is sloppy. The delivery of his character during a match, I don't necessarily like. I can't stand this red light. If he only wins matches when that's on or doesn't lose when that's on, and then all of a sudden that goes away and he loses and that's the way they're going to play this, whatever. I'm not buying into it. I'm not going to shit all over it and give you reasons why I think it sucks. I'm just going to tell you, yeah, well, that's just like my opinion, man. So if you like it, I'm not going to hate you for it. But it's just something that I don't necessarily enjoy. I feel like Bray Wyatt could look a lot better as well. He looks like a fat fucking clown with clothes on that are too fucking small for him. Okay? That's my opinion, man, as well. I just... sloppy. I think he's sloppy. DP, what are your overall thoughts on the match that they had at Crown Jewel, this red light situation, Roxanne, and Bray Wyatt, the Fiend holding the Universal title moving forward?
Oh, man, I'm kind of hungry for some Sloppy Joes right now. I'll tell you that.
Sloppy Brays?
Ew. Sloppy Brays. Ow.
Ugh, there's a dread.
I can see that hair. Sandwich. I agree. With some of that, I definitely agree. The red light thing has to go. I think that's stupid. I don't like it. I don't like that whole thing. Just give me the regular match. Give me the regular lights for a match and be done with it. That's fine. It does. We don't need that shit.
Quiet. You don't have to put on the red light.
Oh boy, we're gonna have to make that song, you know.
You don't have to sell yourself to the night.
Why? What? I thought Bray Wyatt got into shape too. I thought he was when he was gonna come back. He was looking better, and now all of a sudden he doesn't look better. I don't know what happened there. Did he eat his? Well, he definitely didn't eat his brother because I see him out there still. But I like the Fiend character. When they first debuted him, I didn't like the whole setup of him walking, his whole gimmick. It just felt like an extension of when he was Bray Wyatt walking with the lantern. I wanted him to make it a little different then. Like, just, he's talking about getting rid of that character, and it was the end of that character, but yet some of the stuff he was doing was still the same as that character. I would have rather of them just wipe it out like they said they were going to. Have him come down, that screeching whole bit of the music should have been the whole music. Get rid of the whole catching flies. Get it out of there. It just the screeching music as he walks down to the ring would have been great. I like the way his character goes, where he looks like he's, you know, fighting with himself. I can dig all that. I think it's fun. I think it's entertaining. I think it's something different. I like the fact that he's winning, because that was the whole problem with Bray Wyatt, was that he never won a match. I do think that they moved ahead too soon with him winning the title, because they backed themselves into a corner when they did this, is that he can't lose at this point. Otherwise, the character is gone. So at this point, even worse, now he has the title. He can't lose. Otherwise, that character's dead. I mean, really? So I think they backed themselves into quite a corner here. But I like the character. I think it's fun. I think it's different. And it's that, you know, it's a character people are enjoying, because it's that shock factor, and when's he going to come out and do this and do that, and people are enjoying it. I like that. It's just, yeah, I'm with you as far as the in-ring thing. It's just Bray Wyatt, right? And it's tough, because I do like it. I don't know where I'm going with it at this point. I do like that he won the title, because he can't lose. But it's going to be interesting to see where they go with it, because I don't know what you do after this.
Let's finish our whole, you know, thoughts and conversation on Crown Jewel with this one simple thing. Another edition of.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
When does he lose the title? I say Royal.
Okay. I got WrestleMania, I guess.
All right. That's been another edition.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Before we slide on over to the next topic, not into Aesop Mitchell's DMs, by the way. Shout out to Aesop Mitchell, Max Holiday, everybody over at Bruce Lee Wrestling. Head over to Bruce Lee Wrestling 1. That's Bruce Lee Wrestling, the number one, BruceLeeWrestling1.com, for all your tickets and information on upcoming shows right here in the Milwaukee area. Now, before we slide it on over, let's kick it on over to our main man, Lord Alfred.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And ladies and gentlemen out there in the internet wrestling community, the WWE universe, and all the other wonderful companies that are enjoying success right now, what a great time to be a pro wrestling fan. If you're looking to make yourself look more appeasing aesthetically, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There are plenty of extremely clever and clever-looking T-shirts for you to purchase. Greg DeMarco will say it all the time. Be the king of soft style. Get that soft style T-shirt. Feels good rubbing up against your epidermis. All right? That's what I'm talking about.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
think they got the answers. I changed the questions.
DP, a little bit of mechanical difficulties is what we're hearing. A 6-hour delay in the tarmac, but everybody's back in the States successfully. I'm glad they got stuck there because it provided us with one of the best Friday Night SmackDowns, the best SmackDowns, one of the best 2 hours of WWE television, possibly ever. Now, there's a couple of different ways to talk about what happened Friday night. We can get into what actually happened and talk about who showed up, what kind of storylines moving forward. We already touched a little bit on where they're going with this. They kind of are putting up NXT saying, we're just as good as Raw. We're just as good as SmackDown. If you didn't know, here we are. Here's my first question before we actually get into what happened. Do you feel like NXT is getting one step closer to actually becoming a third touring television brand for WWE? Whereas we're not going to record every week at Full Sail. Maybe right away we're not going to pick a different location, but maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, we're traveling with this show, and we're going to try and sell out an arena that's not Full Sail or NXT.
Absolutely, that's where they're going with this. I mean, now that they got the TV show, it's going to get more exposure. They're bringing other people down into, like, Finn Balor. They're bringing him in. You're getting more star power there. Absolutely. This is the next step of this brand, is starting to take them on the road. You've seen they do it a few times a year already. Now they're going to put it on television.
Before we get back into the NXT part, let's backtrack just a little bit. Apparently, we talked about it already. Brock Lesnar quit SmackDown because he wants Rey Mysterio. And apparently, you can't be on SmackDown and face a guy on Raw. So Brock said, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm taking myself, my advocate, and my title, and I'm going over to Raw, which is fine with me because it certainly looks like they're swapping the titles back. Universal title is going to move on over to SmackDown. Brock and the Raw title, the WWE title moving on over to Raw. The interesting question from there, and this is, don't even respond to it, but everybody just kind of think about it in your head. The red title moves to the blue brand, but the guy holding the red title has a red light, so it can't be blue, so it's got to stay red until he loses it, then it goes blue? I don't know. We'll figure that out down the road. How excited are you for a Brock Lesnar-Rey Mysterio match? Because I got to tell you, I'm extremely excited, and I could easily see Brock dropping this title to Rey Mysterio.
I could as well. That'd be a great thing to see, another Rey Mysterio taking down a guy like that and giving him another title run here, especially right now. I think it's perfect. I love this match. I think it's going to be great. Rey Mysterio, is amazing in the ring. He's been amazing for decades and continues to put on match after match that are phenomenal. And again, I'm using that word. Damn it.
So you're like, it's like, this is like your Superplex pay-per-view.
But yeah, I think it's going to be amazing. It's another one of the, David and Goliath type matches. And, you know, Lesnar's always great with those. We've seen him forever. And a guy like Rey Mysterio can really put on a great match with him. And I think it's going to be great. I can't wait.
Let's get into the NXT arrivals that showed up on SmackDown, as this was kind of an invasion, if you will. I enjoyed seeing Hunter and Shawn on TV. I always do. They just are guys that come back and they make you pay attention. They do what they do well, right? They get other people over by being involved with them. So we have the women's match, first match of the night, Bayley defending against Nikki Cross, and out comes Shayna Baszler, cleans house. Could we be setting up four horsewomen here? Versus four horsewomen. The only problem is if it's NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown, you can't really bring Charlotte and Becky together with that.
You can't, but can you bring a triple threat tag team match with Charlotte and Becky as one team for Raw, Bayley and Sasha as another team for SmackDown, Baszler and somebody for NXT?
Maybe like Mia Yim or something like that.
Somebody, you know, one of her cohorts there. They got the other ones. I don't know. Maybe Ronda Rousey makes a surprising comeback and joins the NXT brand. I don't know. One time only thing.
There you go. Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, when is she back? She got to be back soon as we get into WrestleMania season. I'm guessing maybe Royal Rumble's surprise appearance.
I bet you.
Let's keep moving down the card here. The Miz came out, and it was quite obvious he was challenging someone from NXT, and I thought it was going to be Velveteen Dream for sure. That's who I thought it was going to be. I thought that would have been really cool. But we got Tommaso Ciampa, and that might be even better. And to actually see him come back and have a match on SmackDown and against The Miz, it was perfect for Ciampa. It's the total opposite personality, right? And those two guys, I thought, had a great match on SmackDown.
I was really surprised, actually, that they even got through the match. I kind of assumed it was just going to be a little bit of another beatdown type of thing, but they actually had a great match. And I'm amazed that, you know, Ciampa won clean, and just having them go over like that is just kind of surprising. I didn't really expect that to happen. But, yeah, I think the amazing thing is to see Ciampa back and wrestling again is just fantastic.
I mean, I think the main point of the evening was to show everybody that NXT not only has a chance to win in a Survivor Series battle against the main roster, but that their main roster quality as well, right? So I don't think that WWE necessarily anymore wants to think of NXT as the minor leagues. You know, you got people going back down from the main roster, et cetera, et cetera. And even what I just said, they're going back down, right? They're not going over to NXT. They're going back down like Finn, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we need to start thinking more along the lines of NXT brand being viewed at the same level as the other two, and especially like we talked of, that could be moving us towards a third touring television brand on WWE. Speaking of the people coming up, Rhea Ripley and Tegan Nox took out Carmella and Dana in the back, then came out and took out Sonya Deville and Mandy. Hi, Mandy, by the way, Fire. So I thought they looked good doing that as well. But obviously, what everybody so much enjoyed and popped for was the fact that we got to see Daniel Bryan versus Adam Cole for that NXT championship. And I got to tell you, right when they announced it, I was like, could you imagine the ratings that NXT on USA could pull on Wednesday if Daniel Bryan wins this title tonight and has to defend it in the rematch on Wednesday?
Well, and are they missing some of the – well – maybe we'll see this next week, but did they miss a shot here to have that match on NXT instead of on SmackDown? If they would have said, okay, I'm going to be at NXT. I'm challenging Adam Cole to a title match. You get turn on your television on Wednesdays. I'm going to be there type of thing. But regardless, fantastic that we got to see this. Holy shit.
Oh, and what a match it was. You know, the funny thing was when they were in the back and Daniel Bryan was telling Hunter that he's looking for a fight, you know, if you got your boys here, you know, bring out whoever you want to fight me. And then Sean takes his jacket off. And then he looks at her and he goes, oh, it's cold in here. And he puts his jacket back on, just teasing everybody. You know, Sean's always working. He's the best. So then they announce the match and they head out there and Stephanie comes out, right? And she waves to Hunter and blows him a kiss, right? And then they cut over to Hunter and Sean. And Sean looks at Hunter and goes, I think she was talking to me. HB Shizzle, always working, man.
He's always working.
But, you know, they brought up the fact that Sean sitting ringside watching Adam Cole and watching Daniel Bryan wrestle was maybe like him watching his two sons wrestle for the NXT championship.
Especially Daniel Bryan, right? I mean, geez, after the couple years they had going after each other for a while. And, you know, it's really cool to see these guys. And Daniel Bryan, other than his indies, you know, basically kind of came up through NXT before NXT was NXT, right? Back when it was the TV show and it was the whole joke thing, and he was part of that and part of Nexus until he got fired for choking out Justin Roberts with a tie and then came back and like all through all that drama. And then, yeah, he works as, you know, Triple H's boy for a couple years there in their feud, and then wins the title. And yeah, now going after Adam Cole, it's pretty cool to see that. I'm sure he's loving that, and I'm sure he's loving the fact of seeing NXT get where it is now, you know, and that it's now invading for this whole bit, you know, invading SmackDown and Raw, and that they're going to be part of Survivor Series now, you know, going forward, and that just means it's going to be bigger and bigger.
Honestly, you know, you think about what do you want to come away from this tri-branded Survivor Series coming up, right? What do you really want to see? And the thing is, you're not going to see furthered storylines, really, because I don't think you're going to see rosters mixed up where a guy moves over to another roster just to continue a feud. So basically, we're just trying to take people that are at a certain level and put them at the next level by working with another person that's above them, whether it's people from NXT getting people on the main roster over or vice versa. I think everybody's going to be really entertained by this. I think the biggest thing for WWE in doing this is trying to get everybody to pay attention to all three brands, whether you're a main roster person or you're just an NXT person. You see that these things all work, coincide with each other, right? And this is actually just one big company.
Yeah, and it's the perfect time, too. You know, NXT is just coming on to, you know, having a television show on USA, and they're trying to push that brand. And like you mentioned, you know, this is probably their outlet to start touring and becoming a brand and not just the feeder for the two, you know, main roster, quote-unquote, brands. Now it's going to be its own thing, and this is a great opportunity to, you know, get a few guys on the other shows, say, hey, if you haven't been watching NXT, here's us, here's who we are, we can go with a guy like Daniel Bryan and have a phenomenal match, we have the women that can go head to head with all the other women on the roster, you know, our, like you said, our guys aren't the minor leagues, we're just as good, we can put up a great match with these guys, having, you know, Matt Riddle, bro, coming out, doing his thing, you know, it's just, that's...
Bro!
How good does Keith Lee look? Oh my goodness.
Dude, guy's great. We've talked about it with those matches that he's been putting on. Comes out and does the moonsault off the second turnbuckle there. Just
beautiful.
God, just so good.
Yeah, they beat the shit out of Sami Zayn, by the way, on Friday Night SmackDown. That was excellent, and Sammy plays the part so well. That was just a very excellent segment.
Yeah, he's a good foil because he could talk, and he's, you know, just that. You just want to see him get his ass kicked, you know. He's perfect at that, and yeah, it's a showcase to show off these guys on, you know, on a roster on SmackDown where maybe you don't watch NXT. Hey, we're on television now. Look how good we are. Come watch us, and this is, you know, the first step towards that. And Survivor Series is going to be a great opportunity for them, who the people that don't get the NXT pay-per-views, the when they have them, you know, quarterly, here's your chance to see them on a WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah, the big thing I think everybody can take away from what they've started here with NXT, etc., and this is probably something they had planned, they might just have had to accelerate it considering what happened trying to get out of Saudi Arabia. And honestly, folks, I'm not even going to talk about that. I don't know what happened. It could have been mechanical issues. It could have been Vince McMahon got in a fight with someone over there in their government. But whatever. They're done. I think it was just mechanical issues because Saudi Arabia has a very good relationship with WWE right now. If you think that Saudi Arabia is paying WWE all this money to come over there and not making any money off of WWE being over there, then you're sadly mistaken. They're both washing each other's back right here. All right? So... that being said, we've talked a lot about NXT. Let's move on and talk about their counterparts on Wednesday nights.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. Yeah. What is
good? Absolutely. Nothing.
AEW, DPP, how have you enjoyed the last couple weeks of AEW? Because it's been a couple weeks since we talked about it.
It has been a couple weeks. I haven't been able to watch full episodes, really, recently. I've been able to catch some of the highlights and kind of fast forward through them. It just, I think it's, from what I've watched, it feels like it's still just building. You know, it continues to build these characters and everything like that. I don't see anything bad about it so far. I know it's going to take a little while, so I'm kind of waiting for them to get developed here and get into their first pay-per-view from their television. And I just feel like it's just kind of formulaic right now.
Sure. And upcoming for them, their next pay-per-view is going to be Full Gear. I believe that's November 9th. If I'm wrong, then it's not November 9th, obviously. That was pretty,
Makes sense.
That was pretty obvious and stupid of me to say. But let's go back to this week's episode. Sammy Guevara and Hangman Page had an unbelievable match. I think the best thing AEW has for them going is Hangman Page. The guy has a character that the people relate to. He has the ability to work in the ring and, like I said before, convey himself and his character while working in the ring without talking. And he can also talk. The guy does some phenomenal moves, by the way, as well. So I think he's a guy that you should really look for to be becoming one of the absolute elite in the entire world, in my opinion. I do like Sammy Guevara. I like what the Inner Circle is doing. The biggest thing for me and the biggest problem I'm having with AEW, and you got to give it time as well because it's a division that's going to slowly build for them, but the women's division and the way they're booking it and the matches these women are having, whoever's producing these matches is not doing these women any favors. I'm not enjoying it. Personally, it's sloppy. There's not a lot of character development. I understand what they're trying to do with Britt Baker, but that girl couldn't wrestle her way out of a wet paper bag, in my opinion. But I do love their production value. I do love their announce team. I do think they're going about things the right way. I didn't necessarily enjoy the interaction between Shivani and Cody Rhodes as they had their little drive to the arena meeting up with Jericho for the signing, but I extremely enjoyed Jericho. They're sitting at the table up at the top of the ramp. They're doing the signing. Cody's there. Jericho's there. They have the female mediary to help them sign, and Shivani's standing there with the mic, and everybody's telling Jericho, "You suck, you suck, you suck." And he goes, "No, Shivani sucks." He started going, Jericho. And holding up the pen before he signs, waiting for everybody to do the list. He's calling back all his characters. He called back the scarf, he called back the list, everything else, right? So I've been enjoying that. Another big thing from this week, the Elite versus Kip Sabian and the Hybrid 2. The Hybrid 2 is a really cool tag team to watch if you haven't seen them before. Former AAA tag team champions. I believe the longest reigning tag team champions in AAA history. Kenny Omega looked good in that match. He had a really cool Halloween costume when he came out. The Young Bucks came out as Street Fighter.
Red nice, Ken and Ryu.
Yeah, and then Kenny Omega's costume was Sans. Does that make sense? Is who that guy is with the dome head and everything else, the circle head? Who was he dressed up as? Let me see. Come on, bear with me, folks. We've done this before on the air. You need to go to the bathroom. Go ahead. Give me a second. I also saw someone else that I really want to talk about here. Man, there's people just screaming at the radio right now. You know how AEW
exactly. Right, I don't know who was he.
Who did he dress up as? Here, hold on. I'm going through the chairshot.com here.
See the Undertale guy?
Yeah.
There you go.
Sans, right? You got it.
I got it.
I should really do better research.
Sans.
Yeah, I had it right. Yeah, I had it right the first time. Everybody's like, "You got it already. Shut up. Keep talking about something else."
We'll edit that out. Don't worry about it.
No, we won't.
No, we won't. Too lazy.
These are guys that are already established. One more thing I want to point out that I'm really enjoying before I shit all over something else. that I've chatted over in the past, and I'm sure DPP can add on to that conversation. Best friends, Chucky T and Trent Beretta, I believe, and Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy is my favorite fucking character from AEW. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, check out what he's doing. Super laid back, comes in, gives the fake super kicks, and the crowd goes wild. It's excellent. Now, what was the last thing? I am so sloppy right here with this AEW, folks. I apologize. A lot has happened. I'm just getting back.
You don't have to worry. I've been phenomenal all night. I've been terrible. So while you're looking that up, did you get it? Did you find it? All right.
The last thing I want to talk about, the actual main thing I want to talk about, is we crowned the first ever AEW Tag Team Champions. SoCal Uncensored against the Lucha Bros. Great match. One bad missed spot by Kazarian. Otherwise, everything else was seamless. My only gripe here is I thought that they should have put Private Party over here. They had Private Party beat the Young Bucks. They could have had Private Party beat the Lucha Bros and then beat SCU. Now, what better way to put over a young tag? I mean, you could have had them just lose the titles right away at the first pay-per-view that's coming up. But then you put a fourth tag team up in that echelon where you already have those other three tag teams.
This is exactly what I was going to talk about right here. So, bro, you beat me to the punch. That's what I was going to interrupt you with. The whole tag team division, I thought, yeah, this final match with the Lucha Brothers and SCU, I think one of those two, somebody else should have been in this match. The Party Bros, yeah, you had them go over, you know, why not have them at least in the finals then and have them put on a great match? Maybe they don't necessarily have to win it or something. Maybe they just lose, but at least be in the finals, be like at that cusp of winning, but they just don't win, you know. But it just puts another tag team over. Why have two teams that are already pretty much established, right, being in the finals to be your first tag team champs? At least have one of those teams in there that you built up there during this tournament, at least in the finals. And that maybe not necessarily win, but at least in the finals and have a chance at winning this thing. And that would have been, I kind of griped about that one too. Like, I really would have rather seen somebody like that in the finals for that match.
That being said, big time congratulations to Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian. Much deserved. Those guys, they do work their asses off. They do have a really nice group there along with Christopher Daniels. And it's a group that is over with a character. It's over with their work in the ring. They're over with everybody in the back, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Scorpio Sky, to me, is a guy who could break away from the whole tag team division and go on to be an AEW World Heavyweight Champion. Speaking of the AEW World Heavyweight Championship, that's the big match coming up at Full Gear. Chris Jericho, Cody Rhodes. I touched on the little segment that they had at the top of the ramp. DP, what are you looking for in this match? Do you see Cody Rhodes defeating Chris Jericho?
I'm going to answer that question with another question. What's Jericho's tour schedule look like?
Ring the bell. Let's talk about our last AEW topic. And it's Jon Moxley. I love the open where he went after losing the match last week and AEW decided that they couldn't sanction his matches because he's too crazy, and he went into the office and yelled at Tony Khan, et cetera, et cetera. I hated when he came out to the ring and gave that same bullshit interview he's been giving since he was the Lunatic Fringe. Nothing's changed. Same song and dance, different letters on the company. I can't give you any more words out of my mouth if you don't understand what I already mean. I don't want to hear Moxley do the same damn thing. Just put him in the ring and let him wrestle and let, like I've said all night, you've been saying phenomenal, and I've been saying people have been conveying their character through wrestling. And that's the most important thing you can do. If you can convey your character in the ring without a microphone, the fans are going to latch onto you a lot quicker than if you're just talking all this game on the microphone and looking like shit in the ring.
How much I can add to that other than, you know, it's like the Bray Wyatt syndrome when, you know, you can talk and talk and talk, but if it's the same thing over and over again, who cares? It's just wash, rinse, and repeat. You know, whatever. And yeah, this character is pretty much the same exact character, right? Nobody can control him. He's the lunatic, and you know, you don't know what he's going to end up doing. And I would have loved to see him do something a little different. And obviously, they decided not to do that, and he's just wearing a different pair of pants.
Now, AEW fans, before you get yourselves into a tizzy and hate everything that we're saying, take everything that we're saying with a grain of salt. We are enjoying the product, right? We're just breaking it down, and there's going to be a lot more things we don't appreciate or nitpick at as they still build themselves as a company. They are so infantile as a company. They will be infantile as a company a year from now as well with their character building and their delivery and history on television, right? You have to let that build. WWE has had weekly episodic television since 1993. Okay? This is 26 years of depth. We've had 5 episodes of AEW. So to those that are losing it because we're talking shit about AEW, just relax. We're more or less telling you what we want to see and what we don't want to see. And what we really, really want to see is more Brandi Rhodes.
I don't know about you, but my peenie just went, huh?
DP, I think we're done talking about wrestling today. Is there anything on a Eddie Federation or brand or show or match or person in wrestling that we missed that you wanted to talk about, had a comment, question, or concern about? And I'll just say lastly, I'm looking forward to every show this week, and I am looking forward to Full Gear. I want to see what they do with television backing up a pay-per-view.
I agree. I'm really looking forward to the Cody and Jericho match. I think Cody has a good chance of winning this thing. And having kind of Jericho go back to just playing more of a, you know, a chase role with his group and kind of causing some havoc, and having Cody kind of run the show as the champ, I think would be really good, especially for the other members of AEW right now. There's the one thing I don't even want to bring up. I'm just going to say it's god awful and I'm fucking tired of it. And it needs to stop right now. And that's Rusev, Lana, and Bobby Lashley. Stop. Just stop it. I know Vince is laughing his ass off and loving this shit. Just stop.
Ah, DP, I'm going to do even more. Architect my ass. All right, folks, that being said, I think it's time for Last Call. Last Call. What do you mean it's Last Call? What do you mean? What do I mean? It's time to talk about the last thing we're going to talk about. Are you drinking there? Do you have alcohol? Or is it just like sugar water?
It's just sugar water. I need to get my electrolytes up, but Pedialyte.
What the fuck are you drinking, man?
It's just just Mountain Dew right now, actually.
Yeah, I didn't think you were drinking alcohol, so we're going to do what you're drinking. We'll save that for next time. Don't worry about next it. Week. I'm drinking for the whole of us. Yeah. Take that. Okay. You got any? We're going to talk about the NFL and midway through the season. You got any NFL stuff going on over there? You want to play something for me? This is the place.
Boom.
Yeah, that's a little Madden for you.
Tough acting to acting.
DP, we are pretty much halfway through the NFL season, and it's been another excellent season of football. I don't know how you could not like what's going on unless you're a fan of the Dolphins or the Redskins or the Falcons, et cetera, et cetera. Let's get into a few things. First and foremost, halfway through this season, who would be your MVP? Because let me tell you, my MVP through the season so far would likely have to be Russell Wilson. Yeah. I think the guy is doing more with less than anybody else. He's, I think, 17 touchdowns, 1 interception. The guy can run the ball. He doesn't have phenomenal receivers. That defense isn't as great as it used to be. They don't have the best record. even in their own division. But they are 6-2, and I think if you talk the word value, no one's been more valuable to their team than Russell Wilson so far.
You can't scoff at a 6-2 record, especially when you know San Francisco's just come out of the gates, just firing on all cylinders, undefeated. You know, Russell Wilson was going to be my pick for MVP too. Not just because I have him on my fantasy football team, so I was able to kind of follow the stats as he's going and just watch how amazing he's been having of a season. And I agree, just with, you know, a defense that isn't the same defense it used to be. You know, no real star, standout, number one receivers, just a, you know, just some names. Now they got Gordon, which will be interesting to see how he fits in with that team. You know, and yeah, he can just, he runs the ball. He's good at just creating opportunities that some, you know, quarterbacks just can't do. And he's just started off this year having an amazing run. He's only thrown one pick, you know, and yeah, I just, it's hard pressed to find somebody else. I mean, Deshaun Watson is having a really good season too. I think he's helping carry that Houston team, another team there that really has nothing else going for him. They lost J.J. Watt. Their defense just isn't as good. So he could be, you know, right up there too, I think, for me, as far as an opportunity for MVP right now. Again, same thing. They're 5-3, so they're, you know, but in a weak division. So, you know, there's really nobody standing out in their division or conference, you know. So I'd say Russell Wilson definitely has got to be my number one choice too right now.
To me, I do appreciate the Deshaun Watson thing. I think if I would put Aaron Rodgers, and I would ahead of him, and as quarterbacks go, Lamar Jackson maybe as well. But if I'm talking non-quarterback, there's only one person in my mind. Dalvin Cook has had an amazing fucking year. This guy is phenomenal. He's come back from injury. You can't stop him running the ball. So for me, I would vote. In this order, I would have Russell Wilson 1. I would have Dalvin Cook 2. I would have Aaron Rodgers 3. I would have Deshaun Watson 4. And I would have Lamar Jackson 5.
Did you just want to say Jackson 5?
You know me so well. Oh, I can't even find it right now either. Son of a biscuit. Give me a 5.
You know, if just for not necessarily, maybe I guess MVP, the New England defense.
And now,
there it is.
Group you've all been waiting for, the Lovers of Five.
The Lovers of the Jackson Five. Anyway, we won't bore you with it. Go ahead. Lamar Jackson Five. I have him on my fantasy football team. That should be my new fucking name.
I think I will have to change mine. We have one at my work that we did for everybody in our group and our team. So we did a fantasy football draft and everything, and mine was, I had Kerryon Johnson, and mine was Kerryon, my wayward Johnson. But sure. Unfortunately, now that he's on the IR, I need somebody else, and I have two quarterbacks in that league, Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. How do you pick between those each week?
Well, you trade one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But, yeah, maybe I have to change it to Lamar Jackson 5, too.
There you go.
Because I was going to say no longer has a Johnson. It's going to be my new team.
Oh, boy. One of my teams is Buttercup for Cooper Kupp, and then another one of my teams, I have Zach Ertz, and my team name is My Ball Zach Ertz, and we're in that league together.
Fantastic. Yes. yeah. So
let's talk about Go ahead. Did you have last thought on the MVP conversation there?
No, I put the New England defense up there for a did not see that coming for the first half of the season too, because they have played out of their freaking minds.
Boy, and talk about fantasy football wise, they are just blowing everybody out of the water as far as points scored by defenses had on fantasy football teams. Let's start in that division. New England's going to win that division. New England's in the playoffs. New England's likely going to be the number one seed in the AFC. Okay. The Bills are sitting at 5-2. The Ravens look like they're going to have no problem with the AFC North. They're at 5-2. The Colts and Texans are kind of battling it out with the Jaguars and Titans. I mean, everybody has four wins or more there. There's no team more than one win behind the Colts, right? That's one's going to be a tough to predict. And then out west, there it really looks like the Raiders and Chargers aren't going to be doing much. No one's expecting anything from the Broncos. And once the Chiefs get Patrick Mahomes back, they should be playoff bound winning that division. So I think safely you and I can say we got Chiefs, we got Ravens, we got Patriots winning those divisions. Who do you got coming out of the AFC South as the division winner, DP?
That's a tough one, man. I'm going to stick with Houston, I think, on this, just because they seem to have more talent. I think they can pull out some wins here. I think it's really going to come down to schedule. I mean, I haven't really looked at who they have left on the schedule for these teams, but, boy, it just seems like it's going to come down to who they're playing because, like you said, all four of them are very close that any one of these four teams could really win it, depending on who they're playing. But I think I'm going to give Houston a little bit of the edge on that.
I'm going to give Houston a wild card. I'm going to give the Bills a wild card, and I'll take the Colts, you know, stand just ahead of the Texans and winning that division. Who you got for the two wild cards coming out of the AFC?
Yeah, I got Buffalo, and I got, well, it's going to be one of the ones in the South, I think. It's going to be Indy or Houston. I just, yeah, the rest of the teams just don't have enough in them. They're already two games behind, and they just, yeah, they just don't look like they're getting there, so I think Buffalo's guaranteed, I think, to get a wild card, and then it's going to be whoever finishes second in the South, really. So I think it's Indy or Houston.
Let's move on over to the National Football Conference. Saints look to be in solid control of the NFC South. Packers and Vikings look to be the ones that are going to be coming out of the NFC North, whichever one you think most likely going to be determined by that game that they're going to play at the end of the season. Obviously, the other one looks to be in a very solid positioning for the wild card. NFC East, DP. Cowboys, Eagles. Does the team that doesn't win this division still even make the playoffs?
It's going to be tough. There's, like you said, you got Minnesota, you got Carolina,
the Rams. I mean, we still got to talk about the West, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that could challenge it. That might be tough. I think it's going to be whoever wins that division is the only one getting out of there.
I got the Eagles winning the division strictly on having the better coach in my opinion.
I do too. I think the Eagles got it. I just think Dallas is, I don't know, they're too up and down. Philly's got, I think, just stronger overall.
Let's head on over to that NFC West, last division that we haven't talked about. Is there any way the Niners don't make the playoffs and the Seahawks and Rams pull ahead of them? Could you see the Niners going like 2-8 over their last, you know, two and six over the last 10 or the last 8, I mean?
I just can't imagine them at this point. They can't. There's no way.
I mean, their schedule gets a lot tougher. Let's take a look at it. They play the Seahawks on Monday. Then they get the Cardinals, which they should win. That's at home. Then they got the Packers, the Ravens, the Saints.
Yep.
They could have four losses in the next 5 weeks.
They definitely could.
They get the Falcons. But then they have to play the Rams again, and they have to go back to Seattle. So they still have three games against the Saints and the Rams and Seahawks, correct. And then they got the Ravens, Saints, and Packers. So the easy schedule that they've had to start, Buccaneers, Bengals, Steelers, Browns, Redskins, Panthers, Cardinals, that's seven of their wins, folks. Think about that.
That's the scary part, you know, is, yeah, they've had it easy. It's still surprising that they're 8-0, but the schedule has been favorable.
I'm gonna go Eagles out of the East. Packers, Vikings, whoever doesn't win the division is going to be a wild card. I'll pick the Packers to win the division because I can't not pick the Packers to win the division. Saints, obviously, in the South. There's a strong possibility, though, that we have the Niners win this division, or the Seahawks win this division, or the Rams win this division, and the other two teams get into the playoffs. That's another possibility. Do we get three teams from one division? That's what I'm going to pick. That's my playoff prediction on the NFC side. Eagles, well, that doesn't work because I got Packers and Vikings.
Yeah.
Son of a biscuit. You see how hard this is?
Can't do it,
I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the big prediction. Niners miss the playoffs. Seahawks and Rams pull ahead of them. Ooh. Vikings have than the Niners.
Wow. I got Philly in the East. I got Green Bay. staying in the North. Minnesota's going to get the wild card. New Orleans coming out of the South. Man, how crazy is that? That Bridgewater played out of his mind, you know, and then kept them winning. They, you know, didn't lose a game. And they come back.
Without Kamara a couple times.
Without Kamara as well. Yeah. And comes out 7-1. Here comes Drew Brees back. Holy shit, there. It looks scary. Defense looks good. The offense is just going to get even better now. I got San Francisco hanging on to this thing, man. I got Seattle missing the playoffs. They got a tough schedule coming up. I like the Rams to get the wild card here and stay in there. Seattle's got San Francisco, Philly, Minnesota, the Rams, Carolina, San Francisco again. It's going to be tough sledding. They've, you know, they've looked good, but maybe they'll come back a little down to earth here. And Russell Wilson won't look like his MVP self like he's been playing right now. So, yeah, that's the toughest one right there. Those three, it's going to be a race. But I just starting off 8-0, I can't stop. All I got to do is win two, and they're in the playoffs, man. I think they're going to hold on and win the division with the Rams coming as the wild card.
All right, DP, I'm not going to make us give Super Bowl predictions, but I'm going to make us give AFC and NFC championship team predictions. I got the Patriots and the Ravens. That was a real out there on a limb, hey? And then I'm going to take the Packers and Saints in the NFC. That's my championship predictions there. What do you got?
I got the Pats. I got Kansas City. And then we're going to have, oh boy, we're going to have a rematch. I like New Orleans, Los Angeles, and the championship again in a rematch with replay on the line this time.
Oh boy. All right, folks, that's going to conclude our little NFL midseason report, grades and predictions, etc. Sunday night, huge game, New England, Baltimore, right there on NBC. DP, we did it again, episode 209 of the DWI podcast.
Catch a Niner in there?
Yeah, not a 49er.
Podcast through the walkie-talkies?
The Milwaukee Talkies. Shout out to the Dillinator. All right, ladies and gentlemen, my name is PC Tunney. You can find me on the Twitter at PC Tunney. He is DPP. You can find him at It's Me DPP. You can follow this show on Twitter at Podcast DWI. Do not drink and drive, drink and podcast. And you can always find us on thechairshot.com. DP, we're also on Facebook and Instagram.
Facebook at facebook.com/DWI podcast and Instagram at It's Me DPP for all those Bruce City Wrestling events.
I've enjoyed myself today, DP. It's always great getting back into it and talking about the wonderful, you know, the wonderful and exuberant and prospering world of professional wrestling right now. Do you have a last thought for everybody before we close this show today?
Two words, phenomenal.
Yeah, that sounds about appropriate. And ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as DWI. I'm having all sorts of problems finding all my loops today. I can't find Mean Street Posse. Ah, crap, there it is. You say something.
I'll just sing the song. That way you don't have to find it. But I can't do the turn up.
Let's not do that. Yeah, turn it up. Did it on Pod is War. It's the 45-year anniversary of the Rumble in the Jungle. Ali Boumaye.
The champ is here.
The champ is here.
The champ is here.
Talk
gave the body.
You ain't fucking with the champion.
Well, you already know.
The champ is here.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.